This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
From the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Geo on The Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Tuesday morning. Hope you had a fun sports night last night. You probably did if you're a Mets fan. You did not if you're Evan Roberts or drove down to Philadelphia on a whim after getting some tickets to Nets 76ers for real cheap on StubHub and watching his team get blown out in the third quarter and then basically not look back. So you've got that. You got the Islanders looking to finish off the series tonight against the Pittsburgh Penguins and Yankees Red Sox. Start tonight, the first iteration of those two teams who have been scuffling early on. They get a look at each other here in 2019. But I love this Met win last night, Boomer. I thought it was awesome. I know what you're going to tell me already. I can hear you saying it. Oh, the bullpen this, and oh, Syndergaard that. And you're right about all of it. However, they came back. They were relentless last night. Great play by Jeff McNeil to save the game in the eighth. At any time they needed to come back and get a big hit, they did as they win in 11 innings last night. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
All right, Gio. Doing great. And yes, it was a great win for the Mets, and they needed to win it. And, you know, Syndergaard basically pooped the bed again. I mean, I don't know what's going on with these starting pitchers. Oh, thank you, Al.
Oh, you're welcome.
Appreciate it. I don't know what's going on with these Met pitchers, especially the top-end pitchers that are supposed to be so dominating. You know, they keep telling us how great they are, and I know DeGrom is, but Syndergaard hasn't really proved much this year, and he's been terrible. Gizelman's been terrible. Familia's been terrible. Lugo was good last night, and so was Diaz, of course, in the ninth inning. And I don't want to hear Met fans calling in, you know, complaining about Diaz not being brought in the eighth inning. Because just all we all need to understand this. There is a rule in the Mets dugout. And that rule, as far as I'm concerned, is not going to be broken until it really, really, truly matters late
sure.
in the season.
Right, if playoffs are on the line, something like
that. Right, and that rule is basically that Diaz is going to start the ninth or come in a safe situation only. He's going to be asked to get three outs or less. He's not going to be asked to go four outs. That's just the way it is. As good as he is and as good as he's been, and he really is a feather in the cap of Brody Van Wagenen, getting him here, they're not going to bring him in a high-pressurized situation in the eighth inning. It's just not going to happen, at least at this portion of the season, which I think is smart, actually. I think you want to protect the guy. You want him to, you know, build his confidence and everything else, and you don't want to put him out there extending him too bad. But the starting pitchers have got to be better for the Mets.
Wouldn't you rather have it this way, though, where the starting pitchers with a track record might be struggling early and the offense that you didn't really know what you were going to get this year
sure.
has been consistent?
Because
sure. I feel like, yeah, Jacob DeGrom, couple of bad starts. Noah Syndergaard had a good start last time, not so good last night, but I feel like these guys are going to be okay. And quite frankly, I think Gizelman's going to be okay. I think Familia, even though he was bad last night, in this setup role is going to be okay. To me, I was always worried about the Mets offense, and the Mets offense has been amazing. I love the fact that I have confidence in this team to get the lead back or to come back in a game. And yeah, they're up a couple of runs and then the Phillies tie it. Then they're up a couple of runs again and then the Phillies tie. But they just kept coming back.
That part of it is
and
good.
That to me is awesome to see. So I really love where they are right now, and I just hope that the offense is sustainable, and I don't see why it wouldn't be with the fact that you've got multiple guys in this lineup that are young hitters that are getting better, that are contributing. And by the way, you know, I know that Todd Frazier's on his way, whatever. Jeff McNeil has to be playing where you got to find a place for this guy, because this guy moves from the outfield to third base in the third inning and saves the game defensively
exactly.
at third base.
Exactly.
I mean, he is such a damn good baseball player. It's about time that we take this whole like utility Superman thing away from him and make
just
him an everyday
play.
Player.
Just let him play. That's all you have to do. And you know, Todd Frazier is look, man, there's not a lot of room here.
Yep.
And he's an infielder and an infielder only. McNeil is the guy that is the swing guy that can play the outfield as well as the infield. But he does. He definitely deserves to play. So there's no question about that. So your point about their offense, I get it. I love it too. But, you know, I want to see a much more complete team. And the much more complete part of the team has to be the starting pitching has got to be better. And whether or not A-Rod thinks DeGrom is tipping pitches or he's not, and Island is just screaming about it and everything else, at the end of there's something wrong. There's something not right. And maybe it is a little bit mechanical or whatever. I think, you know, there's a time to it with a 3-0 lead last night. Syndergaard's got to bear down. He's got to get people out.
I know.
He can't just be throwing the ball over the middle of the plate. He's got and try to blow people away. He's got to become a thinking pitcher. You know, it's not just about gasoline. It's about moving the ball. How many times have we talked about this? It's location. It's all of that and not taking anything for granted. And last night, and I know it's windy and I know it's uncomfortable for the players and all that other stuff. And maybe when the weather really starts getting warm, we'll see the pitchers start pitching a little bit better than they are now. But at the end of the day, he has got to bear down and get and do his job. And his job is to get the other team out.
Right. Well, what do you think they're saying about Aaron Nola this morning in Philadelphia?
Same thing.
You're at home. What's going on?
Right. Same thing.
It's the same situation. I mean, last night, too, you're talking about it's a cold, windy day. And the wind, you know, Gary Cohen thought the wind was blowing out. Keith Hernandez thought it was a crosswind. I don't know. They had a conversation about
this. But it's uncomfortable for the pitchers. It's definitely uncomfortable for them.
It looked to me like it was blowing out. And Noah Syndergaard's also, he's facing a really good lineup in the Phillies.
I know that, but he's supposedly a really good pitcher.
Right.
You know, he's going to want to get paid someday, and you're going to remember days like today or, you know, the day after where you're like, all right, what am I paying for?
Yeah.
Am I paying for the aura of Noah Syndergaard? Am I paying for the performance? And Noah's got to be better. He knows that.
Sure.
I'm sure after the game last night, he was frustrated. I do think the weather has something to do with a lot of this. And I would imagine that when it starts getting warmer, it gets a little calmer. I think that they'll probably be pitching better. But I also think that there is a definite thought in Major League Baseball, and for those of us who are fans or watch this, that this ball is either juiced or wound tighter or something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, having not felt one of the baseballs this year. And I don't even know.
Man, there's something going on, man.
Yeah, I mean, there's been talk of that for years now, and it might not even be intentional that it's going on. It just might have happened in production, but maybe that's the reason why. Maybe it's the fact that it's early on in the season and the pitchers are usually ahead or not. I don't know what the explanation is. I don't think that it's a bad thing, quite honestly. I think it's a good thing for baseball. It's fun that way because you feel like a team's not out of a game. I'd much rather see offense. And I think I'm coming from a place last year where I saw one of the greatest seasons for a starting pitcher in the history of modern baseball, and we couldn't get him a lick of run support because our offense just sucked so bad. So when I see what I'm seeing now from the Mets, I don't want to talk about the ball being juiced. I don't want to talk about any of that stuff. I just want to see them consistently score runs, you know, and they've been doing that.
And this is all with Robbie Cano batting under 200, mind you.
Yeah.
You know, I got off to a great start with the home run first day. Everything's great off of what's his name in down in Washington. So now all of a sudden he's batting under 200. It's not been great, but Conforto's been good. McNeil's been good. Alonso's been good. Even Davis has been good.
Yeah.
Ramos has been good.
Yep.
I mean, offensively, they all and Nimmo hits a home run last night, so maybe he's kind of coming out of his funk a little bit. So now if Robbie Cano starts to join the party, now he had a couple RBIs last night, but if he starts to join the party and starts legitimately being that 300 hitter that I think Brody Van Wagenen was expecting from him, now that offense that you keep talking about is just going to get better and better and better.
I mean, they are right at the top of baseball in runs scored this year, which is amazing to think about. So the Dodgers have played two more games than the Mets, and they've got more runs scored. But in the National League, other than that, it's the Mets. They're second. And the American League, there's only two teams with more runs scored. Seattle, who has played three more games than the Mets have had, and Oakland, who has also played three more games than the Mets have had because they started in Japan. So you're talking about the Mets, with the number of games that they have played, have scored the most runs in Major League Baseball. And that is a treat to watch. as a Mets fan. And I truly, truly believe that it can continue if they stay on a healthy track. I do not think this is a fluke for them. I think that their approach is different. I think that Chili Davis is a guy who's had an impact on them. I think Robinson Cano being in that clubhouse has had an impact on them. I think guys like McNeil and Peter Alonso are not flukes themselves. And Peter Alonso, by the way, you know, hits a line drive straight at Andrew McCutchen in left field, you know, about 275 feet away that he's got to duck out of the way from. That's how hard he hit the ball last night. I mean, that I've never seen a guy in left field stands there and has to move his head because the line drive out in left field about 270 feet away is hit so hard.
It's just nice to know that we actually have a rookie that is worth watching now.
Yeah.
And will be at the tips of everybody's tongue, hopefully, when the season is over, that he will be a legitimate Rookie of the Year candidate. Hey, by the way, a lot of stuff went on in sports yesterday.
Yes.
A lot of stuff.
Sure.
So this whole notion that Russell Wilson was going to come to the New York Giants.
I know.
It's not happening, because if you're just waking up right now and you haven't heard the news, Seattle and Russell Wilson have agreed to a 4-year contract extension. So he has a year still left on his contract. It's 4 years. It's being reported by Adam Schefter of ESPN. Hopefully he's right on this one. He's been wrong on a few other things, but hopefully he's right on this one. It's going to be 4 years, $140 million. So Doesn't look like the New York Giants are going to trade for Russell Wilson anytime soon.
No, well, not anymore.
I don't know where that pipe dream came from, and I know some people thought that it was legit.
Is Russell Wilson going to get traded to the Giants, Paul?
I don't think so.
Well, there you go. See, right. Paulie Dot didn't think so. But again, like, I don't think so.
He didn't say no to that one.
Right.
He's giving you quick no's on a lot of stuff. He did not say no to that one. I was sort of bummed because I like the idea that it could happen. Two first-round picks, a team with a needed quarterback. He's a superstar.
The Giants have $32 million in dead cap money that they'll never recoup.
You think
they want to pay a guy like Russell Wilson, $140 million?
If Eli came off the books at the end of the year, yes. This is Russell Wilson, by the way, just about 3 hours ago, laying in bed with Ciara talking about what just happened.
Hey, Seattle, we got a deal.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. But I'm going to see y'all in the morning.
Good night.
Time for y'all to go to bed.
Finally, we can go to sleep.
I mean, I wish I was 30 years younger. That's all I can tell you.
I mean,
oh my God. I think he's going to get $65 million guaranteed, and practical guarantees over $100 million.
What was the percentage? Put a percentage number on them having sex right after that video. 90%, 80%, less. I think
they look very relaxed.
That's true. Hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, I'm with Boomer on that one.
Hadn't thought about it. See, I was thinking like, oh man, they had been dealing with a contract the entire night, and then all of a sudden it happened, and then they made the video, and then afterwards. But you're right. You're probably right.
So it's going to be a 5-year deal worth somewhere around $157 to $160 million through 2023 season. So he's going to receive about $107 million guaranteed.
Yeah, pretty good for him. $65 million signing bonus. Is that coming one check?
Yes.
$65 million?
I don't even think it's a check. I think they just direct deposit. Like, you know, Tiger got his direct deposit of $2.2 million.
Well, 65 is a little bit different than two, right? So $65 million.
I wonder if Tiger would say to the Masters, Augusta, look, instead of giving me $2.2 million, just wire $2 million into my account and wire $200,000 into Joey LaCava's account.
That's right.
What do you think?
His caddy.
His caddy.
Right, the big Giants fan, Joey LaCava.
Big Ranger fan as well.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
He's a bigger Giants fan than he is a Ranger fan, though.
No, he's a huge Ranger fan.
Well, I'll tell you why.
Why?
Well, because he had the Giants logo on his scorecard, you could see, and then also underneath that white ridiculous jumpsuit that they have to wear, he had a Saquon Barkley jersey. So,
right,
that's a bigger Giant fan in my eyes.
Well, on Friday, he had a Ranger shirt on underneath.
Sunday, though, he saved the biggest for last.
Okay, that's fine. It's an idiot argument to have.
Does he do interviews anymore, Joey LaCava, or no?
I heard he wasn't allowed to.
Oh, okay.
Because it was the rules that he's done.
He was somewhere ESPN related.
Oh, okay. All right. Because I think he's done a couple interviews now. But
I don't know.
He
wasn't allowed to.
Yeah, I don't know.
First take.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought he wasn't allowed to either. I thought that was part of the deal when you work with Tiger. You're not allowed to do interviews. But he was everywhere.
Yeah, he was. Okay.
Yeah. And good for him, man. Listen, That's great.
All right, that is awesome.
Hey, good for you.
Yeah. Hey, good for you. That's right.
I wonder if he wants the Giants to draft a quarterback. I wonder if he's one of those Eli sycophants or he's someone who's a realistic Giants fan.
That's a good question.
Well, hey, Eli talked yesterday. He spoke yesterday and said that he knows that the Giants are going to bring in a young quarterback. So.
Yeah, I know the Giants are going to host Dwayne Haskins, too.
I know. Well, they have to. They had Kyler Murray in. They're not going to draft him. They're going to have Haskins in. They're not going to draft him either.
Well, the big question is, what happens if the Arizona Cardinals do not draft Kyler Murray? Then what happens?
Man, oh, man. I tell you, that's what I want to see. I want to see Kyler Murray on the Giants. It's borderline. If I wanted to see Russell Wilson on the Giants.
Yes.
Now that that's impossible.
You just want a guy under 6 feet to play quarterback for the Giants.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
what you want.
Haskins third on that list.
Well, at the end of the day, I want them to attend to a problem that has been building for 5 years now. And finally, somebody over there has got to open their eyes and be realistic about what's going on.
Right. A week and 2 days. It'll be a week from Thursday that the NFL draft will be happening. So very excited for that.
If they don't do something about it, then I would suggest that John Mara call up Lou Lamoriello because he will not take no. He will clean things up and
sure.
He will straighten things out and he'll get it right.
Right. And he'll cancel the meet and greet, too.
Eli sucks.
Oh, stop.
Eli sucks.
That's not right. That is so not right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.